Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. I remember Baltimore. As we have all seen in the last few days, Baltimore, the Baltimore we knew, is dead. The flames may have died down by the time you read this, but they will return a hundredfold. Baltimore is dead. So long live Baltimore, the Baltimore of memory, that is, and the Baltimore of lessons we must learn soon, or die ourselves. I remember the sunlit, clean-swept streets there, the century-old row houses as old as Poe's Raven, and the hard-working, unpretentious, cultured, and honorable people who lived there. I remember the craftsman who lived under a roaring double overpass and his passion for classic Cadillacs. I remember the white ethnic enclaves and their lodges and their quaint, dimly lit taverns in old, worn, yet safe, friendly, and well-kept neighborhoods. I remember the majestic architecture and the whimsical effect of the Renaissance-style clock tower with the numerals replaced by the letters spelling out Bromo Seltzer. I remember the racially aware white folks of the German and Italian and Central and Eastern European communities there. I remember the polka music with German announcements that played every weekend on a Baltimore AM radio station for years. I remember the host of the Italian music program for whom I used to do the engineering back in the 1980s, and I remember how I was often warmly welcomed to Italian-American community events there, even once meeting the singer Aurelio Fierro. And Baltimore was the city of H.L. Mencken and Edgar Allan Poe. Just a few months ago, someone, probably a junkie, probably a congoid, stole all but one of the plaques from the H.L. Mencken fountain there, plaques that commemorated his great literary works and his great magazine, the American Mercury. One balmy summer day in my youth, I walked beside that fountain. A few of the plaques were recovered, but the rest are surely gone forever, melted for scrap by dealers who know not to ask too many questions. So pass away the memorials of our civilization, the sublime memory of a sublime man of our race, melted down for a $50 bag of smack. As Baltimore sinks beneath the black tide, what will become of the Poe House? What of Poe's grave, and that of his beloved wife and mother-in-law, where I, in a long ago and now forgotten white America, made a pilgrimage to honor the man who had so inspired me? Will they be savaged too? The plaque, part of the Poe Memorial, sent by the French Literary Society and the Alliance Française to honor the poet, have already been stolen. What will the Shaniquas and Labongos, who will soon be the only residents left in the wasteland once called Baltimore, and who already effectively rule there, do with his memory and his monument? What will they care for the remains of the poet, who lampooned the Ebonics of his day and clearly regarded blacks as mentally inferior? What will they care for the memory of the sage of Baltimore, a man who once said of blacks that, quote, the vast majority of people of their race are but 2 or 3 inches removed from gorillas. It will be a sheer impossibility for a long, long while to interest them in anything above pork chops and bootleg gin, close quote. What indeed? When Ferguson, Missouri was set aflame by black violence last year, after a black criminal was killed by a white police officer, the controlled media and the controlled government laid the blame for the destruction on white police, white officials, white attitudes, and white racism. In currently burning Baltimore, that's a little harder to do. The rioting there is over the death of yet another black criminal, Freddie Gray, who died from spinal injuries that may have been sustained after he was arrested, placed in a police van without any seatbelt, and then purposely given a rough ride to throw him around inside of the van. That I can believe, by the way. I was myself subjected to the rough ride treatment back in 1990 when I was arrested on false charges because I was protesting Nelson Mandela's visit to the U.S. The six officers involved in Freddie Gray's arrest have just been charged by the city's black chief prosecutor with serious crimes ranging from false arrest to manslaughter, and the driver of the van, Officer Caesar Goodson, has been charged with murder. As of today, it's almost impossible. No, not almost impossible, I should say it is actually impossible to find any controlled media news site giving us the race of the officers who were involved. Soon, perhaps by the time you hear these words, that will change. But as of now, while the riots rage, it's being covered up. That can only mean one thing. That's what I thought as I did my research for this program. At least one of the officers is black. Otherwise, they'd put the face of the white cop all over the media. Bingo. According to a thread now removed from Reddit, and according to research done by the indefatigable Craig Cobb, Caesar Goodson is black. The race of the other officers at the time of this writing remains unknown. And the Baltimore police force in that heavily black city is, as the current euphemism goes, majority minority. The police commissioner there is also black. Yet the perception by blacks is still that a white-dominated force is out to get them. While the riots are in the public eye, that's something the media masters don't want us to think about. They don't want us to realize how unappeasable and unreasonable and unquenchably hateful these sons of Obama really are. Hence the blackout on the officers' race. Once the public's attention is back to ball games and celebrities or the latest war in the Middle East, they'll let us know. The whole media circus is quite surreal, capped perhaps by the bizarre sight of aging Jewish warhorse Geraldo Rivera actually interviewing representatives of the Crips and Bloods street gangs on Fox News, no less, who were urging an end to violence and obedience of the police curfew and denying any responsibility for the violence. It was almost as if the Crips and Bloods are quasi-official NGOs now. And perhaps they are. Caesar Goodson is black. And yet they riot, loot, and burn. The mayor is black. And yet they riot, loot, and burn. The police commissioner is black. And yet they riot, loot, and burn. More than half of the Baltimore police are black, and yet they riot, loot, and burn. The majority on the city council are black, and yet they riot, loot, and burn. The black mayor even ordered the heavily black police force to stand down and give the rioters, quote-unquote, space to destroy and vent their anger. And yet, even still, they riot, loot, and burn. The black head prosecutor has charged all six officers with multiple counts of serious felonies, including manslaughter and murder, which could see them in prison for decades, and yet they continue to riot, loot, and burn. Toni Morrison is a black female with pretensions of being a writer. She is the darling of the mostly rich, mostly white liberal PBS set. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Fetchit in 2012. Controlled media book reviewers gush over her tripe as if it were a new Iliad with overtones of Shelley, Pound, and Yeats instead of ink-stained ordure. Morrison's PC mask of liberality, tolerance, and equality dropped the other day when, discussing the issue of current black rage, she said, quote, "I want to see a cop shoot a white unarmed teenager in the back. And I want to see a white man convicted for raping a black woman. Then, when you ask me, is it over, I will say yes." Close quote. Quite revealing, that, and that from one of the best, most well-educated, civilized blacks, just as civilized as Bill Cosby, you might say. The political establishment will never tell you the truth, but they will feed the fires. Hillary Clinton, for example, just got done telling us that police departments are purposely targeting and killing blacks, and that we need a complete overhaul of the justice system to make it more black-friendly. And Republicans like Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush would rather have a headectomy than admit that the black race is one whit more violent or criminal than ours, and they wouldn't even dare to use the word ours when talking about race. The alien-owned and controlled media will never tell you the truth. The New York Times just got done wondering out loud about the perplexing, insoluble mystery of why Baltimore, despite being run by edumacated black folks, quote, still has one of the most stained records of police brutality in recent years, close quote. As if they didn't know the simple equation that a third world population equals third world policing, no further analysis required. Quote, "The problem is not black culture," the Times explains to us benighted Gentiles. "The problem," they say, is, quote, "the continued profitability of racism," close quote. Lead paint and slavery are the problems, ladies and gentlemen, and more government money to fight racism and fund jobs programs are the answer. The hip Gen X-oriented Baltimore City paper is no better, and though it likes to pose as a part of the alternative media, really, it's run by the usual suspects, just like the Washington Post. A picture appeared online recently showing a diminutive, red-headed white woman with her purse being stolen by a large black male looter. Two other non-black females are present. One of those females was a Jewish reporter for the city paper, Caitlin Goldblatt, who breathlessly tweeted to the world that, yes, she was there, and that things were not as they appeared. In truth, Goldblatt said, the evil white woman, who was drunk and so letting her white racism hang out all over the place, was actually trying to steal a purse from the nonviolent black man. Goldblatt says the white woman had no purse. Never mind that, yes, it was the white woman's purse, and yes, the congoid was trying to steal it. Never mind that the white woman and her friends later identified themselves publicly, and that none of them were drunk. Goldblatt wants very much for us to see a different version of what she calls the violence narrative. She describes what went on as drunk white people looking for a fight. Don't expect the truth from the likes of Goldblatt and the Baltimore City paper. The truth is this: the blacks can never be appeased. Their impulsivity, their violence, their rage, their primitive nature constitute a permanent condition, unchangeable even in 100 lifetimes. Their primitive and for us highly dangerous inner nature transcends time and transcends geography. And it sure as hell transcends all the social programs and EBT cards rained down from heaven upon them by crazy, suicidal white folks led by the Jewish Pied Pipers of equality and diversity. We could give them our entire nation, lay down in our front yards, bound hand and foot, with our throats exposed and sharpened knives within easy reach, our daughters chained to the bedroom door for their delectation, the entire contents of our bank accounts converted to cash and laid out neatly in unmarked bills on the kitchen table, and still it would not be enough. They would still hate, they would still rage, and they would still kill. And when they had done away with us, they would turn on others, including themselves. Yet even this violence is not the main danger, not the main problem. The greatest danger posed by having Africans roaming free in our society is the fact that while they are doubtlessly, at the very least, a very different subspecies of human, they are still capable of interbreeding with us. And their birth rate, and the birth rate of the hybrids that have been born as a result of the unholy unions promoted by the controlled media and the controlled government, is far higher than ours. The plan of our executioners is not only to subject us to financial slavery to support them, not only to remove all our defenses against their demands for our wealth, our neighborhoods, and our daughters, but for the remaining whites to amalgamate with them, to become them in this ultimate horror show called modern America. And this spells extinction for us and everything we hold dear. Our memories themselves will die, and no one will remain to care about our great accomplishments and dreams, except perhaps a few Asian historians, centuries hence, who will shake their heads and wonder how the much-vaunted white men could have been so stupid and defective as to go from masters of the planet to extinct species in just a little over a century. And our children will be no more. Baltimore, Ferguson, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, Oakland, Buffalo, and your home city too. Stop pretending. Let's admit it. They're all lost. They're all dead. They're all black or brown. They're all now flaming bloody wrecks of what used to be the brilliant crowns of our advanced civilization. By accepting Africans and African genes into our society, we are remaking America in Africa's image. But our race itself is not lost, though millions of its members, just like our cities, surely are. The same qualities that made the old America great can, if we are willing to engage in a great struggle, build a new white nation on the ruins of the old, as long as our genes survive and our culture is renewed. Awakening our people and bringing together those who are willing to engage in that struggle is the mission of the National Alliance. Now, this minute, not next week, not even the day after tomorrow, is the time to make your commitment to your people's survival. Write to us today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes will rise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil.